This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2018. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Health Director Adrian Byrne. Welcome to Issues 2018.
Thank you.
Nice to have you with us today. It seems as if the only time you and I talk is during cold and flu season.
I think that's true.
I guess this is probably the busiest time of the year for you, right?
It is busy.
Okay. Well, let's start with the big one, influenza.
Yes.
Where are we? At the start, the middle, or the end of the flu season? Are we in?
We haven't quite hit our peak yet. So we are still right in the middle of it because the influenza-like illnesses, reports of those have not declined yet. So we could still go for a little while before we hit that peak and start declining.
Give us an idea of the scope of the problem here in Sedgwick County. I know you've got the numbers, the facts and
figures. I do. And I read in the paper yesterday where it said that Kansas was the sickest state in the nation, and that is not true. Flu is present in high levels everywhere. And it's not a reportable illness. However, there are outpatient clinics and emergency departments that participate by reporting influenza-like illnesses so that we can have somewhat of a idea where we are. And so nationally, last week, 6.6% of outpatient clinic visits were related to influenza-like illnesses. Now, in Kansas, we were at 10.8%, but compared to Missouri, their outpatient visits were 11.4%, and Oklahoma, 9.4%. So again, we haven't peaked yet. We aren't the sickest. It is definitely here like it is everywhere else in the country.
About in here in Sedgwick County, are other Kansas counties seeing the same thing we're seeing here in Sedgwick County?
Yes. The flu is here, and every year deaths do occur. The only part of reporting flu that is mandatory is if a child dies under the age of 18. So right now we do have, in the whole United States, we don't report by state because the numbers are so low. But during this year, up to this point, we have 37 pediatric deaths in the United States compared to last month, the whole season was 110.
Okay.
Now, if we want to look at all deaths in Kansas, so far in Kansas, all deaths that include pediatric, up to last week, we had 48. Compared to last year, the whole season, we had 100.
So you said 48 flu-related deaths.
Flu-related deaths.
Okay. Okay.
Flu-related. And all of the U.S., there are flu-related deaths or influenza-like illnesses. Direct cause is larger. We have a big number compared to last year, but this type of virus can be more deadly, and especially for people that are 65 years and older or have a compromised immune system. So it's really important to take prevention.
What strains are we battling this year?
We're dealing with A. influenza A strains.
Okay.
And those strains are typically more difficult for the 65 and older population. So we tend to see more deaths when the A strain is here, as it is this year.
How effective is the vaccine this time around?
The Center for Disease Control has not reported the effectiveness yet. However, we know that the vaccine does include the A strain. However, it's not as effective. But even when the vaccine isn't that good of a match, it still can provide some protection. If someone does get the flu, it can be less severe and not be as long.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if we do a disservice by telling the public, well, it doesn't cover everything, because they said, well, then why the heck get it?
Yes.
You
know?
And I bet you see that all the time.
And a lot of people say that, but it's difficult for the vaccine to be 100% matched because the strain can mutate from the time the vaccine's being created. So that's part of the struggle there. But it is still good prevention to get that flu shot every year for anyone 6 months and above, unless their primary care provider has recommended that they not get the shot.
Sounds like a science fiction thriller, doesn't it?
It does.
Although it's pretty serious.
It is.
Very serious.
It is.
Now, do we continue to see new strains every year?
We can. It's not something that can be predicted, but new strains, the strains do mutate and then make it more difficult.
Do we know how they mutate or why they mutate? If we knew that, you and I wouldn't be talking right now.
That is a scientific question there.
Okay. Is it too late to get a flu shot?
It is not too late to get a flu shot. It's always best to get the flu shot earlier in the season, maybe September. But again, since we haven't hit our peak yet, which means there are still a lot of reports coming in from the outpatient clinics and emergency departments of influenza-like illnesses, that yes, people still need to get the flu shot. And at our clinic at 2716 West Central, we do have vaccine available at no charge for adults and children that are on Medicaid and other state insurances. And for children that are not insured, we have a sliding scale that's between $2 and $20.
Okay. And I've been hearing reports that they've run out of the generic brand, but they've got a brand name, I guess. Tell me about that.
We have not heard reports about there being a shortage of flu vaccine. We have plenty at the health department and would be able to get more. What some reports you may be hearing are about the antiviral medication that is used to treat influenza, oftentimes known as Tamiflu. That's the most popular one prescribed, but there are other antivirals. And we did call around to local pharmacies yesterday, and some are reporting that they are very low on stock. So if someone is prescribed an antiviral like Tamiflu, it's important to call ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, someone in my family had the flu. We had to go to three different pharmacies to get a dose that's for five people. So sometimes that does happen. So it's just important to go ahead and call ahead of time just to see. But there is medication out there, and the FDA and CDC are not reporting any issues from the manufacturer in regards to not being able to provide more antiviral.
And I apologize because, I was confused. And I'm sorry for the dumb question, but maybe some other people were confused as well. What about being treated for flu after the symptoms? Let's backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
What are the symptoms? How do I know I've got the flu?
Well, the flu is very different from the cold. Where the cold, you're going to be stuffy and just not feel very well, maybe a little tired. When someone actually has the flu, it's not a weekend type of illness. You're going to be down 3-5 days, have extreme fatigue, can have a headache, you're going to have a fever over 100 degrees, body aches, chills, going to feel really bad.
And if we see that or we feel that, how quickly and what should we do in a hurry?
Well, it's best not to go to the emergency room, but to contact their medical provider or to go to one of the community clinics that we have in town. Like we have a number of community clinics, and they can look to see where those are, or you know, call their doctor. But it's best to get in there before 2 days after the symptoms start, because those antivirals are more effective when you start to take them 48 hours. Before 48 hours.
Yeah, yeah, you got to do it in a hurry.
Now, yes, you do.
What about if I just phone it in and say, hey, doc, I got the flu, send me some, can give me some stuff?
It depends. Well, it depends upon the medical provider, because at this point, most are not testing because we know the flu is here and the flu has very specific symptoms.
Yeah.
And so some providers may do that. I don't know.
And if you're sick, stay home.
If you're sick, stay home. Stay home.
How is flu spread by sneezing
and coughing, and then picking up a, let's say someone coughs in their hand and doesn't have a tissue, they pick up a pen, they lay it down, someone comes, picks up the same pen, and they, you know, touch their eye, their mouth, then they are exposed. So it's incredibly important to wash those hands all the time, and to sneeze or cough into a tissue, throw that away, wash your hands or your elbow.
Okay. I guess that's all I wanted to say about that. But there's a pen sitting there. I don't even want to touch it. I'm afraid. Now, we wanted to cover the flu today, and we're about halfway through the show.
Okay.
So is there anything you would like to say about the flu I haven't covered in my questions
now
today?
I would like to touch a little bit on it being reported as an epidemic, because when you hear the word epidemic, that's pretty scary.
Yes.
Well, so every year the flu season is considered an epidemic because of how Center for Disease Control establishes the baseline. So that baseline is established during non-flu season. So whenever flu season begins to come into a community, we're going to surpass that baseline. So if it's ever heard of or called an epidemic, that is typical for flu season.
Okay. You're listening to Issues 2018 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Health Director Adrian Byrne. So can we talk about some other illnesses?
We can.
Okay. Some people I know have come down with the gastrointestinal problems.
Yes.
When we were a kid, we called that stomach flu.
Yes.
Which, of course, that's not right, correct?
That's correct. It is still, people still relate to it as a stomach flu, but there's no relation to the flu whatsoever. It is a stomach virus. And the norovirus, there are many strains of norovirus, which makes it difficult for a person's body to develop long-lasting immunity. So you can get norovirus more than 1 year. You could get it the following year.
Again. Yeah.
So, but norovirus is extremely contagious as a virus. I mean, you know, the cold is a virus, but there are some viruses that are much stronger than others. And so the symptoms with norovirus is nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, stomach cramping. Children experience more vomiting than adults ordinarily. You can have a low-grade fever, chills, headache, muscle aches. So it can feel a little bit similar to the flu, but with the flu, you don't necessarily vomit or have diarrhea. You have all those other symptoms. And norovirus is very easily spread from person to person, both stool, vomit, anything. So if someone has a stomach illness, you're not going to know if it's norovirus unless you go to the doctor and it's tested. But when you have something like that, if someone is fortunate to have more than one bathroom in the house, it's best for that ill person to be the only one that uses a bathroom, and to make sure surfaces are wiped down with Clorox-type products. Or something that you mix up at home with a little bit of Clorox, and make sure, oftentimes people don't think about washing their bed linen after they're sick. And it's
right.
Important. Any type of illness, the flu, but particularly something that is as contagious as norovirus, to wash the linens and the towels as soon as they begin feeling better.
How do we know the difference between that and food poisoning?
Well, in order for it to really know for sure if someone has food poisoning, they have to go into their provider or contact us and have their stool sample sent to the lab just to see what it is.
Now, if you have this norovirus, how long do you have that battle at?
And think about the norovirus. It can come on extremely quickly. Usually it's not more than a 2 or 3 day illness, and then the person will feel better. There's not treatment for norovirus.
My next question is, what's the best treatment?
Well, the best treatment is to rest and not to be going to work or preparing any meals, because it can be spread. You're handling the plates, the utensils, so it's best to just not be near someone when they're sick.
All right. Let's talk for a little bit, if we may, about sniffles.
Okay.
Cough, the common cold.
Yes.
How is that spread?
Well, it's a virus. There are so many viruses out there. So it's a virus like the norovirus. It's just a different type of virus. And it's spread the same way through droplets when we sneeze. Come in contact with our mouth, our eye, our nose, and then touch something without washing our hands. So if someone comes in contact with someone that is ill and hasn't washed their hands, then there's a good chance they're going to come down with a cold.
Again, washing the hands.
Washing the hands. It seems like, why is that such a big deal, or why do we have to remind people to wash our hands? Well, we get busy and we cut corners. And so sometimes we'll just not wash our hands or even use the antiviral. So it really is important to wash our hands all the time, and not just to do a quick wash, but to go through the alphabet or sing happy birthday to yourself twice, make sure you get under your nails, and just really wash the hands well and frequently, especially during cold and flu season.
So you get the cold. What's the best treatment? Some of these over-the-counters, like, I'm not going to give any names, but Quill stuff and things like that?
There are plenty of products over-the-counter that people can choose to use to treat symptoms. As for viruses, their antibiotics don't work on viruses. Antibiotics work on bacterias. So antibiotics are not going to work on a cold. Oftentimes people go to work because they don't feel that well, but they don't feel bad, to stay home or aren't fortunate to have, sick leave. So again, it's extremely important to just wash their hands and be aware when they're coughing and sneezing to do their elbow into a tissue and be really aware of the need to wash your hands.
Probably about a month or 6 weeks ago, I get my annual battle where I could feel it coming on. I was going to go to the throat. It's going to do into my lungs. It was going to be hoarse. And I started slamming down vitamin C, and that seemed to prevent it to go into the chest. Does vitamin C really do any good, or that much good? Or was I just convincing myself?
There's reports that it does and that it doesn't. Yeah. Now, a lot of people do take vitamin C, and who knows if it's a placebo or not, but vitamin C is good anyway, whether through oranges and citrus or just those vitamin tablets.
All right, let's switch off a little bit. Tell us about, I want to talk about vaccinations, periodic vaccinations for children. What is actually required for a child to enter school?
Well, there are different vaccinations that are available. So the best thing to do, because it gets confusing on what you need to have, is to, you can go on our website at sedgwickcounty.org and go to the health Division of Health section, and we have a whole listing of all the vaccinations that are needed for children, as well as Center for Disease Control or KDHE would have those as well.
Vaccination has become somewhat controversial in recent years. You want to talk about that for just a little bit?
Well, they still remain controversial to some people, but there have been lots of studies performed by Center for Disease Control, and is not proven to cause autism or other illnesses. They have at this point said that there is no connection or link to that, and vaccinations prevent the spread of disease. And the more people that are vaccinated, the more people in the community that are protected.
Are there vaccinations recommended for other age groups beyond children?
There are, and those are, like, for someone entering college, there's vaccination. So it's just important to be familiar with that and go on to the Sedgwick.gov website and just see what needs to be done. And they can also talk to their medical provider, because their medical providers will be aware of what vaccinations that they need to get.
Here's a good question for you. I actually, when I was in high school, my junior year in high school, you can imagine how long ago that was, I came down with a whooping cough. And there was some going around in that day. And, of course, I got over it. But do I need to have a vaccination or a booster or anything on that?
It is very important to get that vaccination called Tdap. It's extremely important, and especially if someone's pregnant, to protect the baby, they'll get a vaccination again. And anyone that's going to be around a newborn, since they can't be vaccinated when they're that small, it's important for everyone to make sure they're up to date on that vaccination.
I don't know if you've ever had it, but it's one of the most frightening things, because you literally cough till you can't breathe.
I don't remember, but my mom told me that I had it as a young child, and it sounds like a whoop.
Scary.
Yes.
Scary. Yeah.
Babies especially do die of that and can. So
sure.
Those vaccinations are so important.
Tell me about the health department's work in food safety.
Well, actually, the Sedgwick County Health Department, we don't work with food safety. That is the City of Wichita Environmental Health. Yes.
Okay. So, all right. So here we are. We've talked about virtual. I want to backtrack and ask you one other question about flu.
Yes.
You described this disease and or this virus and how it affects people. How does that actually? How do people actually die from that? Does it have to? Do they have to go to pneumonia or something like that?
There are different deaths categorized. Some are deaths directly related to the flu, and then there are a lot of deaths that will be a secondary cause. So different strains are more deadly, where there can be healthy people that die. Ordinarily, it's going to be the age group 65 and older, or someone that has a pre-existing condition where their immune system is already weakened, and the flu is just too much.
Well, I was at the dentist the other day, and I asked my dental technician about the illnesses and whatnot, and she says, "Well, we all get it, and then our immune system takes over, and we're over it." So. I don't know that I want to do that.
Well, and at least for that year, because, again, they mutate, and there's so many different strains. You know how often we can get a cold.
Mm-hmm. But how about healthcare workers in general?
Absolutely.
They can't go home, right?
It's really important for healthcare workers to get their flu shot and to practice good hygiene. And if they get sick with the flu, they do need to stay home. That ordinarily, it's really, really important for someone with a flu to remain home 24 hours after their fever breaks. So whereas you can go to work if you have a cold and just be really careful with washing your hands, the flu, you're not going to feel well enough to go to work anyway, but you need to stay home 24 hours after the flu fever breaks.
Have you ever seen a number on they do this from time to time, on lost productivity of people missing work because of flu? Ever seen any numbers on that? I know it's got to be in the billions.
No, but there are studies that show how much when people are ill and go to work, it's going to spread, and more people are going to be ill and miss time, and just chronic illnesses that cause missing work. So it's just important to be as healthy as possible with exercising and eating a balanced diet and washing the hands.
As we start the new year for the health department, do you have any plans on the drawing board or things you'd like to see happen in the new year for the health department?
I would love to see the vaccination rate increase with all children, all adults.
But how do you do it?
Well,
you got to keep talking.
Yes, you got to keep on talking and hopefully reaching some of the people and dialoguing about that fear, because fear is a strong deterrent to trying something. And there's lots of stories on the web and that are really not true. So if anyone has any questions or concerns about getting any type of vaccination, we're not here to make anyone, can't force someone to get a vaccination.
Right.
But at any point, we would be glad to talk to someone about their concerns and see whether or not we can reduce those concerns so that they feel better about vaccinating their children.
Think we'll get a cure for the common cold in our lifetime?
That would be, I don't know, that would be interesting. I'd rather have a cure for cancer because colds aren't going to kill us.
But you're right. We've got to have our priorities.
Yes.
Well, listen, thank you for all the work you and your folks are doing down there in the health department and helping us all to try to stay healthy through prevention of illness and treatment of illness. And we appreciate the job that you all do down there every day.
Thank you.
So thanks again for being with us here on the Issues Show today. And again, our guest, Sedgwick County Health Director Adrian Byrne. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2018. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.